Hello.
Hello, am I through to Mr. David Standish?
Yeah, speak in.
Hi David, it's James calling from MMA Legal in
Hi,
regards to
James.
Standish Reefers application. How are you this morning? You okay?
Yeah, not too bad, not too bad.
Fantastic. Just before I continue with the call, I just need to ask you some questions for data protection purposes.
Yeah, sure.
Could you please confirm for me your date of birth, please, David?
5370.
And then also your postal address?
6 Star Gravel Gardens, Dundee. DD4 0UQ.
Fantastic. Just to let you know, the calls are recorded for training and monitoring purposes.
Yeah.
So, as you may know, David, the purpose of today's call is to take your detailed witness statement about
yeah.
your time in Kerr, what happened to you, how it affected you, and what evidence may exist.
Yeah.
I'm going to guide you through the witness statement. The way I'd like to do it is like a chronological story of your life. So we're going to start off with when you was a child and when you was at your family home. And then it will then go into how you became entered into Kerr. And then following that, there will be a series of 12 questions what I'll ask in relation to your time at Burnside House Assessment Centre. I'll also confirm for your chronology of Kerr what I have as well on the phone. Now, all I have is actually you have the one Kerr setting being Burnside House Assessment Centre in Dundee. You were placed there on the 24th of May 1984. Till the 14th of June, and you would have been 14 years old.
Yeah.
That is the only setting I have, is that correct?
Yes.
Fantastic. So essentially, David, the only questions I will ask you are this series of 12 questions only in relation to Burnside. So as we get into it, are you comfortable and are you happy to continue with the witness statement today? Do you need anyone with you, a break, or any other adjustment?
No, I'll be fine. I'll be fine.
At any point throughout the call, David, if you wish to take a break, if that's either to go for a smoke or maybe just to go for a drink, maybe go to the toilet, just make it vocal on the phone and we will take a brief minute break.
Okay.
Obviously, so you're able to do whichever you may please.
Well, can we do that just now? Can I go nip to the toilet and that?
Of course. Yeah, of course. No problem,
just
David.
Just for taking the dog out there. So.
That's fine. Just put me on hold and then let me know
you
when you're back.
2 seconds. Okay. Thank
no
you.
Problem, yeah. David. You're very welcome.
Hello.
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 Hi, David. You okay?
Yeah,
no,
just got right. Either.
Yeah, don't need to apologise. Perfectly fine. So, continuing on, do you understand the purpose of the statement and agree that it may be used to support your Scottish Regis application and any supporting evidence?
Yep.
Okay, now we're just going to go into your personal background and then your entry into Kerr, David. So,
uh-huh.
Could you confirm for me, where did you grow up?
Where did I grow up?
Yeah.
Dundee.
Can you remember your family home? The the address?
Yes, 40 Ellangowan Drive.
40 L?
Ellangowan, Ellangowan.
Ellangowan Drive?
Yes.
Dundee. And can you recall a postcode by any chance?
Yeah, I think I do actually remember. DD46HZ.
DD4... 6HZ, did you say?
6HZ, yeah.
Fantastic.
It may be different now because the estate that I lived on when I was younger, that's all been knocked down and rebuilt. So I don't think there is no longer an Ellangowan Drive, but there's an Ellangowan, whatever it is now.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, because all the houses were taken down and rebuilt and new streets put in. So
yeah,
don't know if there's still an Ellangowan Drive, but that's what it was.
And do you recall who you was living with in your family home?
Yeah, there was me, my sister, my mum and dad.
And what's the name of your sister?
Linda Standish.
Linda Standish. Your mother?
My mother, Aileen Standish.
Is that Eileen?
Yeah, E-I-L.
And then your father?
Dennis Standish.
Fantastic. What was home life like before Kerr, David?
It was all right. Yeah, it was all right. It was everything was fine. Schooling was fine and that when I was younger, and then when we sort of went to first year, things started to change a bit. So that would have been what, the age of 12 or whatever when you got to your first high school.
Yeah.
But yeah, growing up was, yeah, it was okay, yeah.
So you stated that when you started your first year in high school, things started to change a little bit.
Yeah.
Could you just give a brief statement as to what changed?
Well, I was good at school and primary, so I believe anyway. So, and then when we went to high school, you're meeting up with different people, you know, from different schools and things. And I was always the tallest, so when I went to the high school, it was a case of there was a lot of people trying to pick on us and things like that. So it was a bit of a case of standing up for yourself, you know. And who knows, that could have been the start of the rocky road, you know?
Yeah. I'm just going to relay back to you what I've got and let me know if I've missed anything or if there's anything you want to change. But it was all right. School was fine when I was younger. When I went to first year of high school, things started to change a bit. I would have been around 12. I was good at school in primary, I believe. When I went to high school, I started to meet new people. People would try to pick on me, so it was a case of standing up for myself. Growing up, though, was okay.
Yeah.
When you said people tried to pick on me, would you do you ever recall being in many fights in school, like physical altercations?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember quite a lot of fights.
And a lot of fights?
Yeah, there was quite a lot of fights from first year onwards.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine. It's only natural.
Yeah.
And their altercations were always standing up for yourself.
Yeah.
Can you remember if there was any family health that may be relevant or social work difficulties? So do you recall if there was any family health that was relevant at the time? So maybe someone may have been like terminally ill, or there may have been a form of illness at the home?
No. Yeah, well, no, it wasn't for later. My father had a heart attack when I was about 15 by that time.
Yeah. And you don't remember any social work difficulties in the home before you went to Kerr?
I think I had a social worker on the build-up towards going to the home. You know, I think I maybe had a social worker before the homes had even started, I think.
Yeah. And can you recall how long you had the social worker until you went to into Kerr?
What was that? May I went into Kerr, yeah. So I would say maybe by the whole second year was just a disaster. So there could have been social work involved pretty much throughout second year.
Yeah, just going to read back to what you got, just following on from what I already told you. So I just put, my father had a heart attack when I was 15, and I think I had a social worker on the build-up to being placed into care around my second year of high school.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So the next question, David, is how did you come to enter care?
How did I come to enter care?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was taken away. I was put in care because I was beyond parental control.
Do you know who made the decision?
The authorities, I think. That was social workers putting in the reports, or I'm not quite sure if it was. Yeah, but I do remember that when I went to the children's panel, it was, that was the basis. It was basically beyond parental control.
Yeah, just let me catch up on the notes. Yes, yeah, so I was beyond parental control. I believe authorities made the decision. Maybe social workers put it in their notes. However, when I went to the children's panel, I remember them saying I was beyond parental control.
Yeah.
Do you have any siblings, and were you separated from any of them?
Just my sister.
So just your sister?
I was only separated, and I was sitting in the home though.
Hmm. How old were you when you first entered care, David?
When I first went into care, I would have been 14, I would have been, yeah.
This may be difficult to remember, but are you able to recall how you felt at the time when you told you was going to be placed into care?
Terrible. That was terrible.
Yeah?
Yep.
But, I was 14 when I first entered care. Yeah, carry on, David, sorry.
I remember when it happened, I thought it was a bit harsh. I didn't think. I'd seen worse going on at school and things, if you know what I mean. I thought, why me? Because there's people worse, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It wasn't in care. I think all the reports and things from schools, I was excluded several times during that second year of school and things, and other reports were put in from the school as well, you know, that I wasn't behaving or things. Nothing was ever explained to you, really. You just were told you were going there or going there, you know.
Yeah, one moment. What was the last thing you said then at the end, Colin, David, sorry?
I was just saying, at that sort of time in life and that, you were never actually, nothing was ever explained to you, really, you know, it was just a case of this is what's happening, and this, you know, it was, yeah, it was just a case of like, start behaving, and before you know it, you're still not behaving, and the next thing you're going to children's panels, and you know, it's just there's no sort of no help, if you know what I mean. There was nobody to speak to, no help on the build up to it.
I'm just going to relay back to you now what I've got, and just let me know if there's anything I've missed or if there's anything that you'd like me to change or anything you'd like me to add. I was 40 when I first entered Kurt. I felt terrible. I didn't think it was fair. I thought it was a harsh decision, as I had experienced/witnessed worse during my time in school. So I always thought, why am I being placed into Kurt? All the reports from school state that I was expelled numerous times in my second year, that I wasn't behaving appropriately. At that time in life, nothing was really explained to you. You were just told what was going to happen. There was no help at the time.
You were just punished. You were punished for whatever you'd done, but there was never any trying to help you, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, so I just put, at that time in life, nothing was really explained to you. You were just told what was going to happen. There was no help at the time. No one to help me with my behaviour and how to deal with being able to focus and control myself better. You would be just punished rather than help. So we're going to move on to the next question. Next question is, David, is there anything important about your childhood health, learning needs, vulnerability, or named history that should be recorded?
What do you mean?
So is there anything during your childhood, before you were placed into care, what affected your health? So maybe like a serious trip to the hospital where you needed medical attention, the learning needs being like any form of like maybe ADHD or like focus problems, any like depression?
I think nowadays, if it had all been, you know, this ADHD and everything, I think I would have been classed as one of them.
Yeah, that's fine.
But there was none of that when we were young at school. Nobody had ADHD or things like that.
It's different times, wasn't it? Like, medicine advanced quite far. I'll make a note of that and then I'll relay back to you what I've got.
Yeah.
Do you recall if you was ever known by a previous name, David, other than David Standish?
No, just David Standish.
And can you not recall any childhood health, either in relation to your sister or any serious medical attention that was needed from your parents at all during this time before you entered care?
The only medical care I really remember was I broke my wrist at school, was at school sports. We were doing PE and I'd done the long jump and fell back on my wrist and broke my wrist. But apart from that, no, medical wise, it was okay. During that time, though, I started to develop a stress rash. And the calf muscles, the backs of my legs were all stabbed, just be itching constantly.
And I do
remember going to the doctors about this, but I can't remember if it was before I went to, I think it was after I went to Burnside. But I can't be positive. It could have been before. Yeah, all the skin was torn off my calf muscles just with stress, you know, the itching.
Yeah.
On both legs. It would be in my medical records, I suppose.
Yeah. When you said you broke your wrist, was that doing the long jump or the high jump, did you say?
The long jump. Yeah, fell back on my hands and one of my wrists snapped.
I feel like it's a very common bone to break when you're younger, isn't it? Your wrist.
Yeah.
That and also your collarbone.
Yeah.
Can I just for punctuation and grammar, and then I will relay back to you what I got and let me know if there's anything you'd like to change.
Yep.
But I think nowadays, if ADHD and everything was a thing back then, I would have been labelled as ADHD. I have always been known as David Standish. The only medical care I remember is breaking my wrists in sport. I was doing the long jump and I fell back onto my hands and snapped my wrists. I did begin to develop a stress rash on the back of my calf. I did go to the doctors about this, but I think it may have been after Burnside, but it could have been before. Both of my calves were scabbed from itching due to stress. Fantastic. So that concludes your personal background and your entry into care. I'm just going to skip over the care placement chronology because, as we confirmed previous, you have only been to the one care setting.
Yeah.
So, could you please, David, confirm for me the institution name?
It was Burnside House, Dundee.
Can you recall when you was admitted into Dundee and when you left?
When I went into there. It was May. I knew it was summer. Time or thereabouts.
Yeah, it's okay if you don't remember anything. Don't put pressure on yourself to answer. You can state that you don't know, and I will make a record of that. Do you remember how old you may would have been?
I was 14.
And who placed you there?
The children's panel.
What type of care setting was it, David?
Sorry?
What type of care setting was it?
What do you mean, Mike?
So was it like a children's home? Was it a residential school? Was it an assessment centre?
I think it'd done a bit of everything. It was an assessment centre. There was people there long term. There was people from all walks of life, really. You know, there was troubled children like myself. There was, I remember one boy that was in, he was in for attempted murder, but he was too young to be placed in prison, so he was held in there. I remember other people that just come from sort of bad, you know, broken families and things that were there, sort of on a longer term.
You say for attempted murder or actual murder?
Attempted murder, yeah.
Attempted.
So there was kids from all walks of life, really, you know.
Yeah. And how long were you there, David?
It was 3 or 4 weeks. It was assessment period I had to do. I'm not quite sure if it was 3 or 4 weeks, but I do know it was in that.
Yeah. And I've just put it was an assessment centre. There were people there long term, troubled children like myself. There were young offenders in here too. I remember someone being there for attempted murder. There were kids from all walks of life, really. I was there for either 3 or 4 weeks for the assessment period.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you'd like to add in relation to that?
No
problem. So now we're just going to go into a brief description of what the ordinary daily life was like at Burnside. Yeah. But first, we're just going to start with the actual building and accommodation as a whole. Are you able to provide for me a brief description of what the assessment centre was like? And if you did have accommodation, what your accommodation was like?
I remember going into the building, walking into the main through the front doors and into the main reception area. Obviously, get your name, takes, all that, you know, change of clothes, all the different sort of things. And then after that, I remember getting taken up the stairs and down the corridor. It was a long corridor, and that was where I was going to be staying. I can't remember now if it was called PA1 or PA2 I was in. It was one of the two, PA1 or PA2. And I was up the stairs. That's where you're...
That being your accommodation, sorry to interrupt, that being your accommodation, being either PA or PA1 or PA2.
Yeah.
With relation to your accommodation, did you share a room with anyone or was it just by yourself?
There was, if my mind's right, it was, I think it was four beds in the room. It could have possibly been six, I can't quite remember, but definitely no more than that. But I think it was four.
And can you remember the overall hygiene and cleanliness of the room?
Yeah, it seemed fine. Seemed fine. Nothing that I could really think of, no. Yeah, it seemed, yeah, basic, you know, just beds and, but yeah, it seemed clean and things, yeah.
And you say that they provided you with clothing
Yeah.
when you first went in there.
Yeah.
Was the clothing to your size, or was it maybe oversized?
No, I remember my jeans being halfway up my legs.
And do you recall them clothes being what were provided to being clean?
Somewhat remember, yeah. I was clean, yeah. And then you had a standard sweatshirt, you know, that everybody wore for the same colour and everything, you know.
Yeah. Like a little standard uniform in a sense.
Yeah, basically, I mean, it was jeans and sweatshirt and that, but we all had the same sort of colour top.
Yeah. And can you recall what your daily routine would be like?
Well, from what I remember, we used to get school half a day. So I remember I was in the morning school. So you'd get up, you'd have your breakfast in the morning. You'd go back up the stairs. I don't know, maybe hear a fag or whatever, and then you would be taken down to the classrooms downstairs. But you only got half a day because, like I say, there was two bits where there was, you know, it was PA1 and PA2. So one went in the morning and the other one went in the afternoon. But yeah, I'm sure it was the morning one. It was in the morning. So.
And what would follow school ending for for your half a day?
And then in the afternoon, you were just left up the stairs, you know, TV room and things like that.
You'd be escorted upstairs.
Yeah.
So what room do you say, the PE room?
Sorry.
Where did you say you'd be escorted to when you went upstairs?
Oh, you'd go back upstairs after school. You'd just be taken up to sort of your where the television was, and that. There was a room where there was a sitting area, you know, for
Like a
watching
recreational
telly.
room.
Yeah. And then it would be back down the stairs for your lunch, and then back up again, and that was you for the day, basically. A lot of times, a lot of them got to go out though. You know, they were taken on outings.
Well, sometimes you go on day trips.
I never got.
Right, okay, that's fine. I'll make note of that.
Didn't let me go.
And can you recall what contact with your family was like in this assessment centre? Was you ever refused contact?
You weren't allowed to phone or things. You weren't allowed to phone your parents or anything. I remember my mother, I mean, my mum was devastated. She was up quite regular during that time I was in there. I don't know if I should tell you this as well, though. When I first went in the interview and when you were assessed, when you were sitting with the staff, you know, at the office time interview, I always remember them saying, "Do you smoke?" And I remember looking at my mum. Mum looked and says, "Have you been smoking?" And they said, "Because you need consent to smoke in here."
Yeah.
And then mum went, "Have you been smoking?" And I just said, "Yeah." And my mum signed the consent form. So I was allowed to smoke.
Yeah. So your
mum
signed the consent form that you could smoke?
Yeah. Uh-huh. But crazy to even think that they would let you do that, you know?
Yeah, it is crazy. There's a lot of people who, where they've gone to assessment centres or other care settings where they're literally providing like cigarettes to like 8-year-olds and it's like, it's crazy.
Terrible. Not that we knew anything at least in the days of the health problems and that, but I've got them now. I'm not blaming that, but it's all through smoking and I've got cardiovascular disease and everything now.
So I'm just going to adjust for punctuation and grammar, then I'll relay back to you what I've got, and then just let me know if there's anything that I've missed, or if there's anything that you'd like me to add, okay?
Yep. Yeah.
No problem. Yep, so I will walk through the main doors to reception, being admitted. Change of clothes was provided. I was taken upstairs, down a long corridor. It was either PA1 or PA2 that I was placed in for my accommodation. There were 4 beds per room. I was placed in with 4 people, but I think it may have been 6 in the room at one time. I'm not 100%. The room was fine. It was basic and clean. The clothes that were provided to me didn't fit. From what I remember, they were clean. We will get half a day for school. I was in the morning school. I'd get up, have breakfast, maybe go for a fag, and then I'd be taken to the classrooms downstairs. There was only a day to split up PA and PA1 and PA2. In the afternoon, I would then be escorted upstairs to the recreational room. We would get fed at lunch before being back in the recreational room, and that was you was done for the day. Some children were able to go out on day trips. However, I never got this opportunity. I wasn't allowed to contact my parents by phone. My mum was devastated. She would visit me regularly during my stay at Burnside. When I was first admitted, the staff asked if I smoked. My mum also then asked if I smoked, to which I said yes. So she then signed the consent form to allow me to smoke.
Yep, that's great.
Anything you'd like me to add there?
No.
No worries. How did the other children genuinely treat you here?
How did they treat us in Burnside?
Yeah, the children.
There was people that were nice and friendly, and there was also the others that wanted to fight and things, you know.
Yeah. Was there ever a situation where you had a confrontation with one of the children who wanted to fight?
Yeah, yep, yeah.
And did the staff ever, would the staff intervene appropriately and adequately?
Not to me, no, I wouldn't say so, no. They didn't intervene, but with aggression. There was no. I remember after one fight, getting taken down and put in a cell and getting slapped about from one of the staff for fighting.
He was taken downstairs into a cell?
Yeah, but along the end of the corridor, yeah. Yeah.
Was it a single member of staff?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Do you remember this name, the name of this member of staff?
Yeah, Mr. Burns.
His name was Mr. Burns, and what was his role?
Other staff.
No, yeah, that's fine.
When I think back now, when I look at it, when I think about the staff that were in, none of them were actually trained staff, if you know what I mean.
Say that again, sorry.
See, when I think back at it now, and the way it was, they weren't trained staff. They were just employed, if you know what I mean. I hadn't went through looking after kids and troubled kids and things like that. I remember one that was no longer out of the army, one of the staff and things. Also remember that there was one of my friends at school, Donna Purry, her mother worked there as well, Mrs. Purry.
Mrs. Perry.
Perry, P-I-R. Perry.
P-I-R.
Yeah, P-I-R-R-I-E or whatever it was. They were just normal people, you know. They weren't the trained staff or such.
Yeah.
To come from all walks of life. I had another one that used to give us a hard time, Michael Duff, Mr. Duff. He was a counsellor, and he was a counsellor for years and years after I was out of the homes and everything, even when I was an adult. So that's how I know that there weren't actually really trained staff, you know, they come from all sort of kinds.
Well, so you said Mr. Duff was a counsellor there when you was at...
Yeah, he was a local counsellor in Dundee, yeah, but he also worked in Burnside.
Just for punctuation and grammar. So I've just got, some kids were friendly, others wanted to fight. If there was ever a physical altercation, the staff would intervene, but it was with aggression. I remember after one fight, I was taken into a cell downstairs at the end of the long corridor. A member of staff proceeded to beat and slap me around. His name was Mr. Burns. I'm unable to recall his job role. Thinking back at the way it was, they weren't trained staff to deal with us. They were just employed. I remember one was not long out of the army. Also, my friend from school, their mum worked there too, called Mrs. Piri. Mr. Duff was a counsellor. He was just there at Burnside when I was there. He was a local counsellor who also worked at the assessment centre.
Yeah.
Okay. Just hold on one moment before we move into the next part of the witness statement.
Yep.
Education, we're not really too, you know, we don't really need that. We can go without them, so I've just helped narrow it down a bit. It is just that any.
So this is going to be the most distressing part of the witness statement now, David. So just take your time when answering these following questions, and don't try to rush. So Scottish Redress Panel identifies four categories of abuse and the following qualifying behaviours. I'm going to relay to you now each category of abuse and its qualifying behaviours, and then I'll see if you are able to recall any instances of this whilst you were at Burnside.
Yeah.
So first we're going to mention neglect. And neglect is any inadequate and withholding of food, clothing, warmth, hygiene, supervision, safety, medical care, education or emotional support, unsafe confinement or failure to protect from bullying, violence, sexual harm or unsafe adults. With that being said, David, looking back at your time at Burnside Assessment Centre, is there anything that you experienced there that which you would now consider as neglect?
Yeah, uh-huh, yep, yeah. I remember when kids used to go out for, you know, they used to get taken swimming in their veins or go away hull walking and that. I used to get put in the cell. Because obviously the blood staff were away out with the rest of them. That was locked up.
The 9th of August is
when we got back.
How long would you say this would last for?
Oh, this could be all afternoon, you know, it could be up to like 4 hours and things.
Yeah.
And that happened, a couple of times a week, say, for the time that I was there, yeah.
But yes, I remember when the kids would go out for swimming, etc. I would just be placed into the cell as there was no staff to supervise me. This could be all afternoon, as long as 4 hours. That happened a couple of times a week during the time I was there. Fantastic. So next, now we're going to move on to the next category of abuse, which is the emotional abuse. This is qualifying behaviours from the Scottish Redress Panel. Identify threats, humiliation, blame, name-calling, isolation, different treatment from other children, denial of family contact, being made to feel powerless or unwanted, or being forced to witness the abuse or humiliation of others. With that being said, David, looking back at your time at Burnside Assessment Centre, is there anything that you experienced that you'd now categorise as emotional abuse?
Is emotional. Yeah. More just yeah, Michael Duff, like you say, man, I never ever got to do anything, you know, I never got to go man and Paul Walker and everything. So yeah, that sort of hit the emotions a bit, yeah. It's not very nice to be locked up at that age, and when you're thinking you're meant to be to care for your own, you know, to keep you right.
Yeah.
Okay, no problem at all. All right, thank you.
So when you said it didn't make you feel good, can you recall any emotions that you felt?
Yeah, I just felt upset. That was sort of like left out. Wasn't I getting to be part of the group or?
Yes, thank you.
I remember asking Mr. Duff why am I not getting, and just said, because you're not going.
He responded with what, sorry?
I remember asking once, why am I not getting going, he just said, because you're not going. You're not getting to go, and that's it.
This is just in for punctuation and grammar, and then I'll recall back to you what I have. So, but I never really got to do anything. I was never able to go out with the other children on day trips. It didn't make me feel good being locked up at that age alone. It's not fair. I felt left out, not being a part of the group. I asked Mr. Duff why, and he responded with, "You don't get to go," and that's it. Now the next category.
There was probably other things that had been that last question. I remember there was a few. Did you read that question again to me? Because there was other.
Yeah, of course.
Emotional, and what else was there?
Well, you'd like me to relate to you the question or the category?
Yeah.
The
what was coming up in the category. Yeah.
So any threats? Any humiliation?
Yeah, I was threatened.
Can you remember the time when you were threatened?
Yeah.
What happened during the time when you were threatened, David?
I was threatened. I remember just getting dragged down by the back of my hair, down to my room and that, and getting told I was in the knuckle down that I was being serious trouble and things. So, yeah.
And they dragged you by your hair to your dorm room?
I still remember, yeah, and back of my hair. I think it was the very back. It was my neck, you know.
And what did they say to you?
It's basically you need to knuckle down or you're this is the way it's going to be, basically.
Oh, this is the way it's going to be?
Yep. Sit with behaviour, fella. You know, just going to sit with a hard time, you know?
Yeah. And can you recall how that made you feel in that moment?
Yeah, lonely, threatened, lonely, scared. Never been in this sort of environment. Yeah, just felt totally alone. But nobody to speak to.
Yeah, just going to adjust for punctuation and grammar, and then I'll relay back to you what I have in relation to the emotional abuse. Then you can let me know if there's anything you wish to change or anything which you may would like to add further. As well, if you ever hear it being quiet on my end of the phone, David, it just means that I'm trying to catch up on the notes. So if you obviously, it's human nature to try to fill in the silence, but just try to refrain yourself from doing so, just so that we don't miss anything in relation to your statement, okay? So what I've got is I never really got to do anything. I was never able to go out with the other children on day trips. It didn't make me feel good being locked up at that age alone. It's not fair. I felt left out, not being a part of the group. I asked Mr. Duff why, and he responded with, "You don't get to go," and that's it. One time I was threatened. I was dragged by the back of my hair to my dorm room. They then said to me that I needed to knuckle down, or this was the way it's going to be if I don't behave. It made me feel lonely, scared. I'd never been in this type of environment before, and I had no one to speak to.
Yeah.
And so I've already got a little bit in relation to the physical abuse, which I've got from what you stated of how the staff and the other children genuinely treated you. But just for any avoidance of doubt, Scottish Regis panel highlights the following behaviours as physical abuse. There's been hitting, slapping, punching, kicking, shaking, throwing, restraining, locking in, exposure to cold or hot water, denial of food or toilet access, the use of an object that records any injuries or pain, and whether treatment was provided, needed, hidden or ignored. So looking back at your time at Burnside Assessment Centre, is there anything what you'd now consider as physical abuse by the members of staff?
Yeah, it was physical abuse.
Oh, yes, definitely. I think you definitely appreciate some of it.
And then the final category of abuse, David, is sexual abuse. The qualifying behaviours that Scottish Regis identify as sexual abuse is unwanted sexual touching or exposure, sexual comments or images being made to watch, pressure or force to take part, attempted or actual penetration, attempted or actual oral activity, or attempted or actual masturbation, photography or filming, grooming, gifts, and threats of secrecy. With this being said, looking back at your time at Burnside Assessment Centre, is there anything that you experienced that you'd now consider as sexual abuse?
No.
No problem. So these next questions, these following questions are all going to be in relation to the abuse that you stated that you was a victim of in your time at Burnside. So I will have to ask these questions three times due to you stating physical abuse, neglect and emotional abuse. So I do apologise if it is a bit tedious. Just take your time in trying to answer the questions. And if you need a break, just let me know, okay?
Yeah.
So in relation to the neglect that you was a victim of at Burnside Assessment Centre, are you able to recall who was involved or responsible for that neglect?
Yeah, well, the two that stood out and really stand out was Mr. Duff and Mr. Burns. Mr. Duff was more the psychological side, you know, like, and Duff was the physical side. He's the one that gave us the beating.
Okay. Are you able to recall what the roles of Mr. Duff and also Mr. Burns was?
The roles were in the place.
Yeah, essentially. So if you're able to remember what their job role was. Obviously, if you don't remember, it's fine.
I just looked at them all as general staff, you know.
In relation to Mr. Duff, is there anything that you can recall as identifiable features? So was he a big man? Was he tall? Was he small? Did he have hair? Did he have a beard?
Maybe small glasses. A full head of hair.
Full head of hair?
Full head of hair, quite small glasses, yeah. All the memories. All the memories clear as day.
Yeah. And then the same for Mr. Byrne as well, yep. David. Are you able to remember any descriptive features?
Yep, he was quite big, hefty. He used to get called Fat Loco when we were in there, so he was very well big built.
Fat Loco?
Fat Boco he used to get called.
Oh, Fat Loco.
I don't know why, but that was his nickname.
I'm just going to relay back to you what I got for the neglect, but the two that stand out is Mr. Duff and Mr. Burns. Mr. Duff was the psychological side of my abuse, whereas Mr. Burns was the physical side of my abuse. He would give me the beatings. Mr. Duff, I see them both as general staff, but Mr. Duff was a small man, glasses, with a full head of hair, whereas Mr. Burns, he was quite big, hefty. He was called Fat Boco. I don't know why, but that was his nickname. In relation to the physical abuse, I'm just going to obviously state that it was Mr. Byrne who was responsible and involved. Can you recall any other member of staff who was involved or responsible for your physical abuse?
Well, I only remember getting slapped about from Mr. Byrne.
Yeah, just Mr. Byrne, that's fine. And in relation to the emotional abuse, I've got Mr. Duff, obviously, as you stated, that he was the psychological side of your abuse. Are you able to recall anybody else who was involved or responsible for the emotional abuse that you suffered in your time at Burnside? Hello, David?
Yeah, hello.
Sorry, the line just cut then. I do apologise. Are you able to recall anyone else who was involved with your emotional abuse other than Mr. Duff?
No.
Fantastic. Just give me a moment now, because the next question is providing a clear example, and there has been times, but obviously where you've stated an example of the abuse. So I'm just going to go through that now and add it, and then I'll see if there's any other separate events that you're able to recall, and we'll make note of that.
I remember a few other events, yeah.
Okay, no problem. Well, let me just adjust for what I've already got at the moment, and then I'll let you know when I'm ready, okay?
Yes. Could you do the same?
Right, so I've now just gone ahead and I've just copied what you stated just previously when I went through the categories of abuse. So for the physical abuse, for one clear example, I've got after one altercation with another child, I was taken into a cell downstairs at the end of the long corridor. A member of staff proceeded to beat me and slap me around. His name was Mr. Burns. I'm unable to recall his job role. In relation to the further physical abuse that you was a victim of, David, are you able to provide another clear example of what happened, when and where it occurred, what was happening before, during, and after the physical abuse occurred?
Yeah, I also remember once late at night, I remember once getting caught smoking in the toilet, bathroom area, and when I was caught, when Mr. Burns caught us, he was like, "Oh, you're not wanting to go to sleep tonight." I was like, "I was just having a cigarette." He's like, "You're not allowed to smoke," and I was like, "I didn't realise, you know." And he says, come with me, seeing you're not wanting to go to sleep," and up down the stairs, and put into the PE hall. And I was told to stand on the centre spot in the PE hall.
Hold on. I do apologise. Hold on, David. Just let me catch up on the notes.
Yep.
You were told to stand on the centre spot?
Yeah. PE hall.
This is yeah, carry on.
Night. This is late at night. You could be talking 11 o'clock onwards, you know. And then I remember getting taken down, and I was in my underpants. I was told to stand on the centre spot in the PE hall. And I remember him saying to me, "When I come back, if I see you sitting down, anything like that, you'll be here the rest of the night." And I was like, "Right, okay." So as he walked away and went out of the gym, lights went off, and I was left in the dark. It's black. At the standing centre spot.
You believe he turned the lights off?
Yeah, he turned the lights off, yeah. To the left, and in the dark, in the middle of the PE hall, in the centre spot. Told if you get caught sitting down, you'd be there for the rest of the day, the rest of the night. And this happened on two occasions. There was another occasion when there was a carry-on between the two of the bedrooms, you know, two of the dorms, and one of the boys come running into their dorm, and I remember him grabbing the covers and running back out, you know, and up the corridor, and he dropped them, and he jumped back in his bed, and I ran out the corridor and to get my covers back, and I was caught again through this Mr. Burns, and he was like, "I say, so, just get my covers," but he was asking what's been going on and all that, and to carry on. And then I remember at that time as well, I got taken down the stairs and it was the same again, stand on that centre, the lights were put out again.
In your underwear again?
Honest, I can't quite remember. Because it was summertime, I do remember there was times when I just used to sleep in underpants because it was warm, you know. But
yeah.
Surely, but didn't I get put to my beds and just wear underpants? I must have got pajamas and things. So I really can't recall, you know.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine.
I do recall once when I was taken down there, I was in my underpants. Yeah, that was the very first time I got caught smoking in the toilet.
So, what I've got is another example was once late at night I was caught smoking in the toilet in the bathroom area. I was caught by Mr. Burns. He said I wasn't allowed to smoke and to follow him as I didn't want to sleep. I was placed downstairs in the PE hall. I was told to stand in the centre circle. This could be around 11 p.m. onwards. I was only wearing my underwear. He said if I move or sit down, I'd be there for the whole night. As he left the room, he turned the lights off, so I was left in the middle of the hall in the dark. This happened on two occasions. The other occasion was when another boy was running around. He stole my covers and ran away. As I went to collect my covers, he caught me and then he made me go to the pee hall and stand in the dark again. Is there any other form of physical abuse that you recall that you suffered during your time at Burnside?
There was a few times that I was taken into the cell. I was about in the cell. There was a few occasions of that. I also remember one that I was taken out one night. We're just talking in our beds and getting told to be quiet, but we were still talking, and I remember getting taken out and taken into the cell and not to go to sleep. But never hit in the face, it was always around the body and the legs.
Yeah, no problem. Let me just make a note of it and I'll let you know what I've put down. Would you say you were singled out when people were talking during the night?
Yeah, in my room, yeah. And I was pulled out. It was me that was causing all the noise, you know. We're all like that, we're all just bedding and having a laugh in our bed.
Yeah, so I've just got, there was a few times I was taken into the cell for beatings and being slapped about. One night I was taken from my dorm as people were talking during the night. I was singled out as I was the loudest. I was taken to the cell and was assaulted. They never would hit your face, just your legs or your body. Is there anything else that you'd like to add in relation to your physical abuse?
Well, like you say, that happened a few times for the in the cell and getting also remember that one that I was telling you there when I was singled out, you know, when we're all having the weather and that. I remember that same night that happened, was pulled up again later on, a wee while later. And I remember Mr. Byrne saying, you're not going to sleep, no? And okay then, no bother. I remember he took me and another boy, I don't know his name, I can't remember. We were taken down to the kitchen and we're both handed a toothbrush. Start scrubbing the floor. Keep busy. If you don't want to go to sleep, then there you go. You're going to scrub the kitchen floor and the kitchen. A toothbrush.
Yeah, so following on from when I said that I was singled out and I was the, as I was the loudest, I was taken into the cell and was assaulted. I put the same night this happened, I was pulled up again later by Mr. Burns. He took me and another boy to the kitchen. We were both handed a toothbrush and told to scrub the floor. He would say that this was our punishment for not wanting to go to sleep. They would never hit your face, just your legs or your body. No problem. So now it's the same question, but it's in relation to the neglect. What I have so far is I remember when the kids would go out for swimming, etc. I would just be placed into the cell as there was no staff to supervise me. This could be all afternoon as long as for 4 hours. This happened a couple of times a week during the time I was there. Is there any other instances of neglect that you was a victim of during your time at Burnside that you can recall?
Probably was, but I can't really remember. You know, I've got certain things that really stick in my head from when, you've got to remember this was over 40 years ago.
Yeah, of course.
There probably was other things, but maybe not as severe or didn't affect me as much as what other things did, you know. But in general, apart from that, I sort of quite recall everything else. All the other staff were okay with me and things. I only ever remember these two guys that were, they were the mean ones in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in relation to the emotional abuse, what I have so far is that I never really got to do anything. I was never able to go out with the other children on day trips. It didn't make me feel good being locked up at that age alone. It's not fair. I felt left out, not being a part of a group. I asked Mr. Duff why, and he responded with, "You don't get to go, and that's it." One time I was threatened. I was dragged by the back of my hair to my dorm room. They then said to me that I needed to knuckle down, or this is the way it's going to be if I don't behave myself. It made me feel lonely, scared. I never had been in this type of environment before, and I had no one to speak to.
Yeah.
Is there anything else what you'd like to add in relation to an example of your emotional abuse?
In relation to emotional abuse?
Yeah, in relation to the emotional abuse.
No, just sort of getting singled out. It didn't feel good, you know. At the same time, you could see that Michael got on well with other boys in there, maybe boys that... I got the feeling that because I was in there, because I was beyond parental control, it felt like I was getting a harder time, if you know what I mean. It felt like, well, your mum and dad kind of, you're right, so we're going to do it, you know. I did feel in my time there that I got a wee bit of, I got worse than other people. I mean, I thought about it later in life and everything, and that's the way I sort of look at it. It's like, is that because I was on beyond parental control that they were, you know, knock me back into place, sort of?
Yeah. That's understandable looking back. So I just added that, what you just stated. I just ended up putting, I was singled out on occasions that wouldn't make me feel good. I felt that due to the reasons of me being there, beyond parental control, it was used as an excuse for the staff to treat me worse than the other children.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fine. So now, in relation to the neglect, how often did this happen? And did it ever change or become worse, David?
You mean by the neglect?
Yeah, how often would you say the behaviours of neglect was shown to you?
Well, I do remember, I remember three times that I remember being slapped about in the cell at the hut. I can remember being locked in there when, like today, when we were getting going on our day trips, like swimming, etc. And things, and never get put in the cell and not get to go with them. And to be honest, I really kind of think there might have been other things, you know, but these are the things that have always stuck in my head, you know, as growing up.
So just part, I remember being slapped about in the cell at least three times. I remember being placed in the cell a lot when the other kids went on day trips. Can you ever recall if these behaviours ever became worse?
They ever become worse?
Yeah.
No, it was the same levels, if you know, if that's what you're meaning, you know, like mental, it was the same sort of routine all the time. And the same thing with the physical, it never got worse. It was always just the same sort of beating up, if you know what I mean. There's never any time that I come out with, you know, bloody noses or anything like that. It was always around the body and the legs and things you were hit.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine. So now the next question, David, is what immediate effects did you experience? This is now going to be in relation to the neglect. So examples of this have been any pain or injury, what were the immediate effects? Any fear, shame, sleeping problems, bedwetting, running away, or behaviour or school changes? With that being said, Can you recall what immediate effects you experienced from the neglect?
I started to rebel. Remember that, the care home days, and even after, I felt like the world was against us.
Yeah. So now, David, it'll be the exact same, but it'll be in relation to the physical abuse. Are you able to recall the immediate effects from the physical abuse you were a victim of?
I remember I had a lot of anger because of it. I knew it wasn't right what they were doing. I just knew even at that young age. He accepted it, and he accepted everything in those days, but I look at it now.
But looking at it now?
Yeah, it's not acceptable, really, you know. Like I say, I feel like I was slightly harder. I don't know if it was because I was in there, because it was beyond parental control. Yeah.
Can you recall if you ever had any injuries following the physical assaults that you were a victim of?
I remember having bruising and things, yeah.
And again, it's the same question, but this being in relation to the emotional abuse. What was the immediate effects that you experienced following being subjected to emotional abuse?
I felt hurt and I just sort of left out and not being part of the group. Not very nice. Rolled out. Nobody to speak to either.
Yeah, but I felt hurt, left out, not being part of the group. It didn't feel very nice. I also had no one to speak to about this or the way I felt. Is there anything what you'd like to add in relation to the emotional abuse and the immediate effects? No problem. Did anyone witness any of the abuse that you was a victim of, know about it, or experience something similar?
The staff knew what was going on. All the staff knew what was going on.
Yeah.
Nothing was ever said. You couldn't speak to them. It'd be a case of their part of the staff as well, and it would be a case of, well, just behave yourself, sort of, you know. But the other staff knew what was going on.
Yeah, but the staff knew, all of them knew, nothing was ever said or done. And but you wasn't able to speak to them, as it would be a case of them being a part of the staff as well. I would encourage you to just behave yourself.
Yeah.
Is there anything what you'd like me to add or anything what you'd like me to change?
No, I don't think so.
No problem. Did you tell anyone or try to get help?
The only person that I was able to speak to was my mum when she'd come to visit. From that, there was nobody there you could come to. I don't know what they would call them nowadays, but you would think there would be sort of like a guiding staff there, you know, somebody to speak to, you know. There was just nothing like that. Just nothing like that at all.
No problem. But the only person I was able to speak to was my mum. From that, there was no one there you could turn to, no guidance staff, just someone to speak to. There was nothing like that at all. The next question is obviously going to seem a bit peculiar, but I'm just going to say, what was different at this placement compared with the others?
Which was what?
what was different at this placement compared with the others? So really with this question, I'll probably just take a moment just before you answer so I can try and rephrase it to apply to your matter because you've only got the one occur setting. So just give me a moment. So what was different at this assessment centre compared to your time in school?
What's different?
Yeah, what was different?
It was like I said, prison.
Yeah.
Total different, way different, just taken away and put into this place. And like I say, it wasn't a very nice for me for the short time that I was there. Yeah, it felt like a punishment when I went there, you know. It felt like a juvenile jail, as they say. Yeah.
Yes, but the assessment centre was like a prison, completely different from school. It wasn't very nice for the short time I was there. It felt like it was a punishment, like I was in juvie. Is there anything you like to add?
It was meant to be an assessment centre to see what was going to happen to me, what the future holds for me and things like that, you know? No, I wasn't always that at all. I mean, I was taken away from my mum and dad because I was beyond parental control. I think the authorities were meant to be putting me down the right road, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Never happened. That never happened.
Going to relate back to what I've got, and then let me know if there's anything that you'd like me to change or add. So the assessment centre was like a prison, completely different from school. It wasn't very nice for the short time I was there. It felt like it was a punishment, like I was in juvie. It was meant to be an assessment to see what future plans would be for me, etc. However, it wasn't like that at all. The authorities were meant to guide me on the right path so I would not be considered beyond parental control, but that never happened. No problem. So that concludes the CER setting section part of the witness statement. The next following stages, David, are in relation to people involved, reporting institutional knowledge, movement between placements and leaving CER, the impact of the CER experience as a whole, and then any supporting statements, previous claims, application or payments, and then your reason for applying. What I'm going to do, just real quick before we end up getting back into that, is that we're just going to take a short break in relation to your witness statement, and I will give you a call in the next 10 minutes. So at 20 to 1, I'll give you a call, David, so just give you time now to get yourself a drink, go to the toilet if needed, or maybe go for a smoke, or just to obviously take a breather for 5 minutes, and then we'll continue. Is that okay with yourself?
Yeah.
Fantastic, no problem. I'll give you a call in the next 10 minutes, David, okay?
See you then.
Speak to you soon. Speak to you then. Goodbye, David. Bye.